are listening to the Stick and Hack Show, a show about golf and life from a stick and a hack. Now, here is your host, Adam Grubb and Mike Ryan.
All right, everybody, welcome in. This is the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb. The hack, that's Mike Ryan, the stick right there. Mike, it's Masters Week. We are excited, so excited that Stick and Hack has decided to do a bonus episode, but we are not going to be talking about the Masters on Masters Week. Why would we? Why would we?
I have no idea.
So we have a special episode. This is an interview with Cameron Weeb, who is currently running the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Cameron, welcome into the Stick and Hack Show. Let's get right to it. First of all, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
You're very welcome. We're excited to have you. What you're doing, and this show is very different because the event that you're putting on is so different, so unique, so cool. We aren't doing our traditional program this week. We just want to talk to you. We want to understand the story behind the Augusta National Women's Amateur and where it started, where and for those that don't know what it is, and the trials and tribulations that you've had to overcome just in the few short couple years that you've had this event. So let's first start with just the obvious. What is the Augusta National Women's Amateur?
So in 2018, Chairman Ridley announced on the Wednesday press conference before the Masters that it was time for the world to play host to the collection of the best 72 players in the world and for that amateur event to be held at Augusta National on the Saturday before the Masters. With that, he also announced that the first 36 holes of the competition will be played here at Champions Retreat, just 14 miles down the road on the Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus nines. So after that 36-hole event, they'll be through the first two-thirds of the event. They'll play a practice round, and the ladies will then compete in front of the world at Augusta National on the Saturday before the Masters.
Now, Cameron, do they have a cut after those first two rounds, or is it just everybody plays the whole time?
No, it's low 30, no ties. So one of the great things that happens here at Champions is that it really becomes the stage for a lot of success and jubilation, but also a potential for some tears with 30 no ties. 30 women are in and the balance of the field are out. So it's an interesting and exciting time here on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
You're paving the way for not just memories and experiences, but you're paving way for these amateurs to begin their next level of competition. A lot of them have come out of high school, college, and now they're looking for that next their card. They're looking for a new level of competition. Where did this idea start? Where you said, here's from a level of competitive golf, let's put them at Augusta and let's have 3 days of golf. Where did that even come from, and how did it get going?
I think the world of golf needs to really give a nod to the Augusta National and specifically Chairman Ridley for his initiative in this concept. I think it's something that perhaps behind the scenes had been brewing for some time, but the time was right. And it's interesting, isn't it, in the social dynamic that we're in, it always seems that the Augusta National gets the timing right, and they did again. And so I think that most of the credit will obviously go to them and their efforts, and we're very pleased to play a small part in that role.
There's a cool list of those that qualify for the invitation. You've got your reigning U.S. Women's Amateur Champion. You've got your Ladies British Open Amateur Champion, the Asia Pacific Amateur Champion. You guys are bringing a global sense to this of champions of the amateur events, but also the Girls Junior PGA Champion and the Girls Junior Champion, as well as special invitations just to other amateurs. You guys are the most inclusive tournament, it sounds like, that's around right now.
You know, it's really interesting when you start to think about the roadmap of golf and the progression of these young players, and some of them are very young. I mean, we've had 14-year-olds participate in this event. In fact, you could even go further and start to look at the drive, chip, and putt that's held at the Augusta National and some of those players starting to progress into this event. The roadmap starts to become very clear that this is a gate that you wish to pass through before perhaps going professional and playing for a career later in your life. It really is an inclusive event. It's unbelievable from the corners of the earth, the players that qualify for this event. And of course, with the world's amateur golf rankings included, it's the best of the best.
Cameron, tell us a little bit about Champions Retreat. You guys have quite a unique property there, and I think it's one of those places that not a lot of people probably know about. So tell us a little bit about Champions Retreat and the property you guys have there.
Yeah, thank you. So first of all, I think you're right. I think that we used to be the best kept secret. And then when you put it on TV with a global event, that secret goes away. We have an interesting story here at the club. Founded in 2005, Arnold Palmer, Nicholas, and Player all got together at the 1999 Champions Dinner. And there was a piece of property just outside of town. They were approached to design each of them 9 holes, which had never been done in the world and obviously will never be done again. And what they did is they took 365 acres of property and they each created 9 holes, fantastic, each in their own right, championship level golf. And what we wanted to do in 2014, when the property was purchased by the principal owner, Bill Forrest, he wanted to really take what we believe was a national caliber asset and continue to elevate that experience. Over the course of those 4 or 5 years, we did so. And now you get a chance to see it as the Players do. But the property is surreal. It skirts the Savannah River on the Island 9. It takes you through the Bluff and some real topographical change on the Bluff 9, and then down through the lowlands on the Creek 9. So each one of them has their own distinct feel. And you can see a little bit of the flavor of the designer in each one of them. But somehow they all mesh well together, and it makes for 27 great holes. And we're a quiet, private club 51 weeks of the year. And then we become the center of the universe at one point.
I was checking back on the 2019 Augusta National Women's Amateur and the amount of people that were watching at Augusta, that tournament. You guys bring in a lot of people. This is not a this is a big event, I guess, and this is in some cases more exciting than early round Masters, right?
No question. I think the practice rounds at the Masters, while exciting, everyone knows those are the practice laps. We start in on Wednesday and it's, you know, the flag has been dropped and the game is on. So it gets intense very quickly. And it's not a small production here at the club. As you can imagine, in addition to this year's 85 players and their invited guests, there's a significant number of volunteers, essential workforce that are behind the scenes working. And while here at Champions for 2021, we won't have any patrons on property. All of the patrons that will get a chance to see these ladies firsthand will actually be over at Augusta National on Saturday.
Yeah, there's a really kind of a nod to you guys for helping grow the women's game, right? But is that really what you're doing, or are you trying to find better ways for them to compete at a national level, at a world level in some cases, and bring all of these amazing amateur golfers in to help set them up for their future? What is more important to you as you guys grow this tournament?
Yeah, I think it's a great question and a profound one. I think that you would have to look at it and say, I think by collecting and creating what is a competition for the best players in the world, organically, you are growing the game. And what it naturally does is it attracts the best athletes, the best players, to guide their steps, their map, their roadmap, if you will, to someday being there. And if you're a 12-year-old female that's, you know, has aspirations to compete, and you now start to see there's a global stage for which you can do so, it naturally starts to elevate the experience. And I think that, as you know, listen, I think it's no shortage and no surprise to anyone, the Masters has been a male-dominated game, and it's only men who are participating in it. But for those of us who have been in the game for a long time, how many of us haven't at night had a practice session with our friends or our parents, and you're putting for nickels, and you're thinking this is to win the Masters? And as a young man, as a young boy, that guides the experience. The dream is alive. I think that dream is now alive for women and females across the planet. They now have a target, an opportunity, and a roadmap to get there.
What does the winner get, Cameron?
Everything. Well, first and foremost, I think what we'd do is we'd look back to 2019. And you know, while I won't talk about the tangibles, I will talk about perhaps the intangibles. Look at Jennifer Kupcho. A graduate, a standout at Wake Forest, obviously a great player, had some favoritism leaning her way going into the event, but it became an opportunity for the world to know who she was. Maria Fassi, the same. We all saw in 2019 the unbelievable show of gratitude and appreciation. Those ambassadors of the game were unbelievable. What has that done for their careers? I think it's still that story is still being written. And so what I might suggest is it is, of course, a shot in the arm of confidence. Not that these women need it. They're fantastic players that became evident. I think it gave them credibility. It gave the women's game awareness. And then, of course, with it comes an awful lot of riches aside from what we just mentioned.
Augusta National Women's Amateur is something that I can assume has legs for many, many years. What do you see this tournament becoming? Where do you want it to go? Is this something that starts to find its way into pockets of other major tournaments and with USGA, with the LPGA? What's the relationship look like there, and how do you grow this thing?
Well, I think that those organizations are all friends of the game. And so I don't think that this is necessarily a competition so much as a collaboration. And I would expect to see that this becomes the number one women's amateur event in the world. And you could put that up against the Olympics or things of it, of that nature. I think that when the Augusta National made the commitment in 2018 to have this event, we could all recognize that it's not going away. And this will be something that is around forever. And it will have a life of its own, just as the Masters has become. And it will take some time, of course, to get there. And I don't mean to put them necessarily up against one another, but this starts to touch on those same types of elements and the growth. It will be insurmountable.
Cameron, what can groups like and media outlets like Stick and Hack and others do to help support this, promote this in the years to come, but to get involved? Because involvement in something like this is key. You need, and you talked about the volunteers, you talked about the staff, you talked about all that, but the greater golf community, what support are you looking for the Augusta National Women's Amateur?
Yeah, we appreciate that. I think the real story here are the players themselves. I think there's a human element here that is just so amazing. And that is the roadmap that some of these women have taken, challenges that perhaps they've endured. All of those types of stories are the things that we should continue to focus on. Just as we would if you were to, again, compare it to perhaps the Masters. We always walk into April with the Masters. There's a side story. There's a backstory. There's the he's trending well. This is the number one player in the world. And I think that story has to continue to evolve for our women amateurs. And as we start to follow their careers, perhaps earlier, we do so graciously. We do so with, you know, emphatic behavior. I think that's what's exciting, is getting a chance to understand these truly are some of the best players in the world, male or female. And it's evident. You can hear it in the way they play, in the way they compress the golf ball and their skills around the greens. These players can flat play, and that's a story that needs to be told, and they deserve all the spotlight.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, Mike. I'm gonna pose this question to you as well, because as a lover of golf and following the players when they're professionals, it really is the only sport, maybe with the exception of hockey, but I know zero about hockey. I live in Indiana, for God's sake. But there's only a couple of sports where you don't really know the players until they are at their peak and at the top. Even some of the top 150 golfers, I don't even know much about. In basketball and baseball, you're seeing these recruits come out of high school and you're following them early from eighth grade. People are getting signing bonuses at you know, before they can drive. It's a crazy spot over there in the other sports. Golf, not so much. Is that missing? Mike, I'll ask you that. I mean, is that something that you think could help the sport grow, is if we're following these players early on, like we would here with the women's amateur?
Yeah, I think it'll be one of those things, is as the popularity of golf grows, that there'll be more opportunity for that, where you'll see fans have the chance to follow people earlier on in their careers. I think in the past, you just probably haven't seen it because there hasn't been, well, I would guess that at a media level, they may not think there's as much interest, but I honestly think you would see that interest if you put it out there and put it to the right audience and into the golf fans out there. I think they want to see how these players grow in their game and see them early on for sure.
Cameron, you agree?
I do. I'll throw a wrinkle in there that perhaps we haven't discussed. The betting and the gambling now starting to become attached to golf is going to start to elevate the interest of the knowledge of players. I hate to say it, but the handicapping of the player themselves. And when people choose to put their own hard-earned $5 bill on something, they're going to want to have a little bit more backstory. And so to your point, I mean, think about the sports that we talk about, five-star recruits, basketball, right, football. We're following these kids at 15 years old, 16 years old. And now all of a sudden, we're starting to talk about how golf can enter that arena. While we don't know where it's going to go, I think that one of the positive byproducts will be a deeper level of knowledge that we, the general fans, are going to experience and have a hunger for, if you will, moving forward. And I think this will be included with some of these young players.
Cameron Weeb from the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Cameron, thank you so much for the time. This was there's 30 storylines that I'm sure we could talk about moving on, and hopefully Stick and Hack and other organizations can help you guys continue this incredible tournament and this incredible opportunity for women's golf, but for the young amateurs, it is truly something extraordinary you guys are doing at one of the most amazing places in the Mecca of golf at Augusta. Kudos to Augusta as well for making this happen and bringing this and allowing this to hit our ecosystem and the golf ecosystem. Finally, it feels like it should have been probably 30 years ago that this was a conversation, but I'm glad it's happening now. So congratulations on your success and continued good luck with the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Cameron, thank you so much for being on the Stick and Hack program.
Adam and Mike, thanks for having me.
Okay, we're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.